Hello listeners, this is Alan. I'm glad to be back here again to wish you a very warm welcome to this week's Epsom & Yule Talking Newspaper. This is edition number 2149 and it was recorded on Thursday the 19th of October 2017. Well, joining me in the studio today are resident reader Diane, regular readers Gabrielle and Paul, plus Bill at the sound desk. Here's a brief taster of what's coming up for you today. News about local schools winning awards, a new scanner for a local hospital, a well-known charity receiving an award from the Prime Minister, plus staff scaring over 35s at a local attraction. Well, it's time to bring you that news in full and more. Over to you, readers.
Hello, this is Gabriel. Starting with this week's headline front page story. Schools honoured by London's Mayor. A Chessington primary school and a secondary in New Malden have been honoured under a new programme set up by the Mayor of London to recognise exceptional schools in London. Schools for Success was set up by Sadiq Khan's office to help tackle education inequality and increase standards for all school children across the capital, whatever their background. It celebrates schools that achieve academic success with all their pupils, particularly disadvantaged or vulnerable students who started off behind their peers. Just 6% of primary and secondary schools made the grade, and this includes Castle Hill Primary School in Buckland Road and Coombe Girls School in New Malden. Mr. Khan said, "London has some of the best schools in the country, and Schools for Success shows the huge difference good quality teaching can make to pupils who started off behind in their studies." In 2016, there were more than 39,000 pupils at the end of primary school who did not reach expected levels, according to the Mayor of London's annual education report. Castle Hill's head teacher, Lou Anderson, said, "I could not be any more proud of staff and pupils. I am delighted the school's hard work and achievements have been recognised. We are now looking forward to working with other schools and sharing the very good practice on display here every day with others. Castle Hill is a very special place. We strive to meet the varied needs of all learners in as many creative ways as possible. It is a privilege to lead this amazing school. The whole community are very supportive, the staff are amazing and pupils love learning. Everyone has played a huge part in our success."
Hello, this is Paul. Marathon run to help sick boy, money being raised for two-year-old. A team runner is set to attempt the London Marathon in April to raise money in aid of her friend's seriously ill little boy. Cheryl Byrne of Churchy Drive is raising money for Ewan, aged two, who has a rare condition called Patow's syndrome, which affects approximately 1 in 5,000 births. This serious genetic disorder is also known as trisomy 13 and is caused by having an additional copy of chromosome 13 in some or all of the body cells. Cheryl, who met Ewan's mum Alison at antenatal classes in Banstead, said, "When he was born, doctor said he's not going to last more than a week. Then it was you're not going to take him home. Then it got to 10 days and they were told he won't reach his first birthday. Now, 2 years old, deaf, blind Ewan continues to defy expectations and fight on against the odds." Cheryl added, "They said he's never going to be able to stand, but he loves his walker and smiles so much. This little boy is one hell of a fighter and I'm going to work so hard to raise as much money as possible for him because he and his amazing family deserve the absolute best." Ewan's mum has had to give up her job to look after Ewan full-time because of the specialist care he needs. As Ewan gets older, he will need equipment and adaptations to the house in order for him to continue making such incredible progress. To find out more about Ewan, go to facebook.com/EwanOurSuperstarT13. And to sponsor Cheryl, go to justgiving.com/crowdfunding/CherylBurn.1.
Hello, this is Diane. Raging over a rumbling road. Family unable to sleep well for months. Earthquake-like tremors from a damaged road in Chessington have been keeping a family awake for 8 months. One resident said Leatherhead Road is so noisy he can hear the glasses singing in the cupboards. Transport for London, TfL, is aware of the problem but hasn't managed to fix it yet, despite action from residents and a query from Kingston and Surbiton MP Ed Davey. Resident Roy Fisher said, "We have a dog called Heart that's on tranquilizers because it keeps thinking there's an earthquake which is shaking the house. The vets say Heart needs to be removed from the situation, but it's been 8 months and we can't put her in kennels that long." Because Leatherhead Road is used for access to the M25, Mr. Fisher said heavy lorries come down at all hours and shake residents in their beds. He added, "We have the front wall cracked, new plaster which was put up last year, all showing hairline cracks, and all I keep getting is that they've turned up once and the machine broke. They turned up again last week and they couldn't do the job because there was a car parked there. It's no excuse. Normally, when you're going to do work, you put cones up before, you don't just turn up." A TfL spokesperson said, "We're sorry for the disruption caused by the poor road surface in Leatherhead Road. We aim to resurface the road soon, as our previous attempts were delayed by broken equipment and a lack of access to the road."
Lost on the train. The first few weeks of Southwestern Railway operating the line out of Waterloo have brought in thousands of lost property items. Some of the items most commonly left behind are exactly what you might expect: wallets, keys, glasses and phones. But there have been some more unusual items left to navigate the train network alone, abandoned to their fate. Here is a list of recent lost property that you might find surprising. A barrister's wig, an ironing board, a pirate flag with pole, a leather lounge chair, a pair of false teeth, a giant inflatable shark, giant prize bananas, pandas and donuts from Thorpe Park. Michael Pugh, Customer Experience Manager at Waterloo Station, said, "Our staff from across the networks work hard to ensure passengers are reunited with their belongings. However, we would encourage everyone to check they have their belongings before they leave our trains. Keys, phones and wallets are always such a pain to lose, but it's the sentimental items that really cause problems for passengers. If you misplaced your giant inflatable shark, visit southwesternrailway.com/contact-and-help/lost-property to fill out a form or call 020-7401-7861 from Monday to Friday between 7:30 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Tennis courts are a smash. Basketball facilities also refurbished. Alexandra Recreation Grounds free tennis and basketball courts have been refurbished and can once again be enjoyed by everyone. The three tennis courts and two basketball courts are available for use by adults and children, with teenagers encouraged to play with their friends. Councillor Barry Nash, Chairman of the Community and Wellbeing Committee, said, "This refurbishment will mean that the sport is accessible to all and will enable the community to treasure this valuable asset." He added, "Who knows? There may be a Wimbledon winner of the future about to start his tennis career in Epsom. Alexandra Recreation Ground is close to Epsom Town Centre and is used for sporting fixtures, including football, cricket and bowls. It also has two playgrounds for the under-12s and a play area for over-12s. The historic park officially opened on June the 27th in 1901, and the tennis courts were installed in 1912. The park was selected for Epsom's celebration for both George V's coronation in 1911 and for the town's peace celebrations following World War I. As part of the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee celebrations in 2012, Alexandra Recreation Ground achieved QE2 status. This protects the park for future generations.
Couples Award from PM May. A Tadworth couple who lost their daughter when she was 26 and created a mascot that has raised more than £75,000 for charity has been recognised by the Prime Minister. Jeff and Jenny Smith have won a Points of Light Award for creating Tadworth the Hound, the canine mascot for the Children's Trust, which rehabilitates, educates and cares for children with brain injuries and neurodisabilities. The couple's daughter Jackie worked as a healthcare assistant for the charity, so they began volunteering in her memory. For more than a decade, Jeff has dressed up as Tadworth, a costume he found in his shed, while Jenny acts as his eyes and ears. On one occasion, Tadworth helped a young girl who was struggling to relax her clenched fist by placing his hands on hers. Points of Light Awards are given daily by the Prime Minister, recognising outstanding volunteers and people who are making changes in their community. Jeff said, "We are so very grateful to receive this award and it means so much to us. We are honoured to volunteer for the Children's Trust and very humbled by this recognition." A letter from Theresa May read, "You should be proud of how your innovative fundraising is lifting the spirits of young people across the Children's Trust. It is an incredibly fitting tribute to the memory of your daughter Jackie."
And now for the crime news. Rise in crime as lights go off. Decision made to save £210,000 a year. Nighttime crime has gone up by 40% in Epsom and Newell since the streetlights were turned off in February. Police statistics show there were 342 crimes recorded between midnight and 5 a.m. from March the 1st to July the 24th this year, compared to 245 crimes during the same period in 2016 and 251 in 2015. Some lights in the borough went off during those hours in February, with a further set being turned off on July the 26th after the published data was collected. Surrey County Council made the controversial decision to turn off lights across the county in an effort to save £210,000 a year. A county council spokesman said, "Due to the ever-increasing demand for our services, coupled with a reduction in government funding, we made the tough decision to turn off streetlights in quiet areas with low amounts of traffic in the early hours. We worked with Surrey Police on this and kept on lights in areas where concerns were raised to help ensure that our residents' safety is not compromised." Councillor Eber Kington, who requested the data be compiled, has urged residents who want to see the lights come back on to contact the County Council. He said, "I was getting lots of messages from people anxious and angry about the situation. I'm still getting far too many people coming to me with stories about this. First, I would encourage everyone to make sure crime is reported. We need those stats. Second, people who feel strongly about it should make use of the review service on the council website. That has to give a message that people are not willing to accept that in the modern day we have to have the street lights off at night."
Three guilty of running sex ring. Three people traffickers have been found guilty of running a prostitution ring that exploited 19 vulnerable Southeast Asian women at hotels in the UK. Li Wai Gao, an unemployed 44-year-old woman from China who lives in Portsmouth Road, Esher, and Hong Chin, a 45-year-old takeaway employee who lives in Newton Wood Road, Ashted, were charged together. Kevin Thompson from the Crown Prosecution Service said, "The gang exploited vulnerable women, putting them to work in situations which exposed them to serious potential risks. Once the women were caught up in the prostitution ring, it was invariably almost impossible for them to escape the life they had been forced into. All the time they were then earning what turned out to be huge sums of money for the defendants, who were responsible for running the operation without any regard for the women's well-being." The pair were charged with conspiring to control prostitution for gain between February the 1st, 2013 and June the 11th, 2015, and conspiring to traffic people for sexual exploitation into the UK between March the 10th, 2015 and June the 11th, 2015. Hong Chin was also charged with the same offences with Ting Li Lu, a 47-year-old Chinese beautician of Somers Road, South Sea, Hampshire. They were found guilty at the Old Bailey on Thursday, October the 5th, and will be sentenced in October the 26th. Detective Inspector Andy Richardson said, "This has been a complex and lengthy investigation where vulnerable women were trafficked into the UK for the purposes of prostitution. Often the women were moved to different towns around the southeast where hotel rooms were booked for them, and then they were told who they would be seeing and what services they had to offer. They had no say in any of this. This was effectively a well-organised and structured business which made the defendants thousands of pounds, as was seen from their bank accounts. Over the course of the investigation, officers spoke to a number of women with their safety and welfare at the forefront of our minds. Each of the women we spoke to were offered support and protection through the national referral mechanism. Our case was always supported by the strength of the account given by one of the victims, who bravely gave evidence at the trial, and I'm grateful for her cooperation." A spokesperson for Elmbridge Police said, "These convictions are a really positive result and show that human trafficking is not acceptable and will not be tolerated. We will leave no stone unturned in bringing those who commit such horrific crimes to justice." During the trial, a fourth person was charged in connection with the case, Wing Yun, a 41-year-old taxi driver of Palace Square, London, was found not guilty of all charges.
Man guilty of cocaine plan. A Thornton Heath man has been found guilty of conspiring to import £9 million worth of cocaine through Heathrow Airport. Preetam Mungra, 43, of Thornton Heath, and Wilfred Owusu, 30, of Stoke Newington, were found guilty on Thursday, October the 5th, at Kingston Crown Court, of conspiring with baggage handler Joyson Jury, 40, from Banstead, to import the cocaine into the UK. This followed an 18-month National Crime Agency investigation, which saw Mungra arrested in December 2016. NCA surveillance officers would watch as Jury arranged to move suitcases containing the drugs off a flight from Brazil and have them placed on baggage carousels for domestic flights. Around the time of each flight, Jury was in phone contact with right-hand man Mungra. The bags would be then collected by couriers organised by Owusu, arriving on internal flights from other airports in the UK, who could exit Heathrow without going through customs controls. Two such couriers, Danovan Bull, 45, and Moses Awupitu, 38, were arrested on arrival and would later plead guilty to importing Class A drugs. On other occasions, seizures were made by Border Force officers. In total, cocaine weighing more than 100 kilos and cannabis weighing around 50 kilos was seized from the gang. NCA Regional Head of Investigations Brendan Foreman said, "This was a sophisticated plot, and at the centre of it was a man who used his privileged access to Heathrow and insider knowledge of the airport systems for criminal purposes. This kind of corruption threatens the security of the UK border and the public at large, which is why the NCA and its partners are tackling it as a priority. Working with Border Force, airport authorities and the airline community, we were able to stop this organised crime group in its tracks and pull together evidence which demonstrated their guilt to the jury. Three other men, Damien Goodall, 30, of Tooting, London, Mark Aguru, 51, of Thurrock, Essex, and Aziz Abdul, 37, of No Fixed Abode, also pleaded guilty to being part of the conspiracy. All will be sentenced later in the year."
And now for readers' letters. And the first one is from Edward Gretton, a member of the Wimbledon Park Conservatives. The heading of his letter: "Bridge repair deserves a proper level of management." The ongoing chaos of the Ashcombe Road bridge closure continues irrespective of the major disruption it is causing local residents. The bridge is the crucial link between Gap Road and Queen's Road and is a key route between Wimbledon Park and Trinity Ward. The bridge is relied upon by countless parents for daily school runs, by people visiting the shops on the Broadway, and for everyone's general access to the town centre. Throughout the year, the council has publicised a moving feast of closure periods and forever changing completion dates. The initial street signage stated that works to the bridge would commence in March and be completed before the end of April. The project was then rescheduled repeatedly, at one stage promising boots on the ground with work to start at the beginning of July. Any hopes anyone had of the bridge being open again in time for the new school term were soon dashed, local residents often reporting long periods of inactivity and zero presence on the site during August, with works only starting properly, it seems, after the school holidays ended. The latest council website proclamation now states the bridge will be closed all the way through to the Christmas trading period in December, whilst other announcements state that the bridge will reopen on dates unknown. Badly worded, indecipherable street signage has also been erected, leaving residents baffled as they attempt to read the garbled messages, whilst the local ward councillors were omitted from the advance notice of the works. The patience of local residents is wearing thin as traffic builds along Cromwell Road, with stationary cars in gridlock and even bus routes adversely impacted. This bridge is a critical point of local infrastructure, and its repair and maintenance deserve proper levels of priority and management.
From Gordon Thompson of Croydon. Thanks for thoughts. Thanks for sharing your views with us, as always, and also for giving us the stunning picture of the Heron. Really good to reflect that the relentless outward surge of the bricks, mortar and concrete of suburbia has not yet swallowed all our green space and water and driven not all the wildlife out. With you 100% on the crude, depressing overall of Christmas, our ubiquitous old high street pals, Tesco is surely among the prime suspects here. Their in-store tree seems to go up in October, but Christmas then suddenly ends for them more or less on Boxing Day, if not before, with the hot cross buns and the chocolate eggs often on sale immediately. Shop early for Easter, I suppose. The consultation by TfL on making the London trams cashless was something waiting to happen, with all the buses now already cashless, if paying by cash for a paper ticket works out to be more expensive, then it's no good for anyone, least of all those worst off. There is a lot else besides. Think of maintenance and handling, security and so on. Going for making the change, but I still really do wish that the council, the government, TfL and others would not describe as consultation their process of telling us or selling us what they had already decided and are planning to do. For me, genuine consultation would always be a process of asking us first and then deciding what to do. Of course, if we told the powers that be to stick their wonderful ideas somewhere unilluminated by the sunshine, it might be inconvenient for them, and they would then come out with all the stuff about interfering with their grand plans and visions for us, and all the David Brent Management for Dummies tat about being naughty by not moving forward and embracing change. Am I that bothered? Well, no, because those in charge of us should surely remember and be reminded, if they forget, that they are our servants, and our paid servants at that, and not our masters.
And now for the editor's view. Needing to watch it after getting new gadgets. I'm sure we all remember the old joke, the one with the punchline that Mickey Mouse has an Andy Parks watch. It dates back to a time when a Mickey Mouse watch was shorthand for a cheap product. Well, Andy Parks now has a Mickey Mouse watch, but it certainly didn't come cheap. I was lucky enough to get an Apple Watch for my birthday, and any proud owners will be aware the options for different faces and designs are endless. Mickey not only tells me the time, wishes me a good morning, and taps his foot endearingly, he even has the nerve to laugh at me occasionally. Of course, there's far more to an Apple Watch than just a cheeky mouse, but I suspect it will take this aging technophobe months to discover all its capabilities. Mind you, rather than learning how to add features, the first thing I had to master was getting into settings to switch a few off. If not, I was in serious danger of Mickey and his pals taking over my life. The first unrequested demand from the new friend on my wrist advised me to breathe. Surely we don't need a watch to tell us this. I've been doing it for 55 years, just long enough to warrant the gift. But apparently I haven't been breathing properly, and if, when reminded, I now do it correctly, then I won't get stressed. My wife will be delighted. Of course, it does all the usual stuff you'd expect. Maps my every movement on foot or on wheels, checks my heart rate, tells my phone to take photos, reminds me to stand up, expels water. But it's subtle too. The darn thing creeps up on you, and before you know it, you're left wondering how you possibly survived before you strapped on this bag of tricks. Once I've mastered switching off the healthier gizmos, I'm sure I'll have the energy to look for some of the really useful applications on offer. Using it for contactless payment is great, but with no upper limit, I'll need to be careful. I'm told it will also take the place of my car keys and remotely unlock my garage. Clever stuff. All in all, I love it, but I am left wondering how long it will be before we're living our entire lives through commands from our wrists.
And now for some short news stories. £56,000 scanner for hospital. A state-of-the-art ultrasound machine that was given to Epsom Hospital after mammoth fundraising efforts has been demonstrated to one of the donors. The £56,000 scanner in the Hope Fry Vascular Unit supports the stroke, DVT and aneurysm surveillance services, as well as patients suffering from symptoms associated with vascular problems. Epsom Medical Equipment Fund donated the machine, with contributions from the Walton-on-the-Hill Pageant, Dorking Deepdene Rotary Club, residents of Mosby Crescent, former Surrey County Councillor Stella Lallamant, and County Councillor Tina Mountain. Councillor Mountain, who donated £2,000 from her county councillor's allowance, visited Epsom Hospital for a demonstration by scientist Amanda Clark. Miss Clark said it is fantastic to have a new machine which will benefit all the patients needing vascular ultrasound scans and improve the ultrasound service for the community. Thank you to everyone who gave so generously.
Fright restrictions at new attraction. Only the bravest thrill seekers will be allowed into Chessington World of Adventure. Scary new attraction, creepy caves unearthed. Guests over 35 will be spooked by park staff, and if they keep their cool with their pulse remaining under 100 beats per minute, they will be let in. Jordan Smith, Bravometer coordinator, said, "Creepy Caves Unearthed is said to be our scariest attraction yet, and while we're expecting children to be brave, and our research shows that adults' sense of bravery dips after 35. Creepy Caves Unearthed isn't an attraction for the faint-hearted, so it's vital that we make sure over 35s in particular are fully equipped and pass the tests before they enter."
Thumbs up from Girl Guides on Night Out. An excited group of girls from Your Village Guides had the time of their lives rocking out to some of their favourite artists, including Louisa Johnson and Ella Eyre at Wembley Arena. Girls from Your Village Guides travelled to Wembley on October the 7th for Girl Guiding's annual pop concert, The Big Gig. They were treated to a star-studded lineup, which also included Pixie Lott, Five After Midnight, and YouTube stars Jack Maynard and Casper Lee. The girls, aged between 10 and 14, could enjoy all the fun and excitement of a pop concert while celebrating their role in Girl Guiding. Lucy Zola, aged 12, said, "I've never been to the Big Gig before, and we were all so excited on the coach on the way." She added, "My favourite acts were Five After Midnight and Louisa Johnson, but I also loved seeing Roman Kemp, who was introducing the acts. It's great being in Guides, as we do so many brilliant things." The charity is currently recruiting for more volunteers to help deliver their exciting programme to over 400,000 girls and young women across the UK.
Hello, listeners. It's Alan again. That brings us to the end of this week's news.